You excited about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel? Any of that? Yeah? I'm talking about the end of the semester? Christmas break? Yeah. Well, let's take care of hats and phones. We're going to have a fun assembly, I think, today ahead. And I want to introduce our guest. And Carrie and I had the privilege of a week ago Sunday spending some time with Richard and Laurie in their motorhome. Had a great time together and just could see right off. There was a ton of insight and understanding there. And then I guess it was Carrie's idea. I know Richard and J.E., I think, have spent some time together. And anyway, but Richard has had an illustrious career as at least I know a lengthy stretch as a state trooper, and has had some great opportunities in the places that he served as that. I'd love for you to expound on that a little bit, just to, you know, kind of add to introduction. But I think would have a lot to say to us. And, you know, there are, you know, God doesn't want us to be fearful, that's for sure. But there is wisdom in being prepared. So we're going to talk a little bit about safety this morning. But, you know, we want to be proactive, and we want to be wise in that, and we want to learn and be prepared and do what we can. And, of course, ultimately, we trust in God. So, but God turns and says, hey, don't be foolish. You know, right? So, but, you know, we want to hear from Richard's vast experience and knowledge, and he's done this a great deal. Usually probably not in overalls, but he was working on a deck this morning with Dennis, and that's coming along great and looking good. I'm very happy to be seeing that. So let me just, Richard, come on up, and let me just pray for us as we get going, and look forward to a good time together this morning. Lord God, so grateful to you, Lord. We look ultimately to you for our safety, for our protection. We know that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And whom shall I fear? Lord, also, we want to be obedient to your word. We want to be wise in the way we carry ourselves and the way we look after one another. So, Lord, grateful for Richard and what you have given to him in this area. Lord, I pray that, that we'd have a good time this morning learning, and that would be a productive time. In Jesus' name, Lord, pray your blessing on Richard as he shares with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Am I on? Good. All right. Who am I and what am I doing here? My name is Richard Kumichael. I'm a retired Oregon State Trooper. I had 27 years with the Oregon State Police, and then I contracted out to the U.S. Forest Service for another 2 years, so I had 29 years total law enforcement. Working with the Oregon State Police was a real interesting career. We didn't just patrol the highways and write tickets. We did a lot of rural stuff. A lot of times we were the only police officer. Sometimes I was the only police officer in two and three counties. There was a couple of times when I filled up my gas tank three times in one night, just responding to calls. You know, so it was. We didn't just go out and write tickets. We had a lot of rural responsibilities. And then when I, as I was advancing in my career and supervised and became a sergeant and so forth, they transferred me up to work in our state capitol building. In Oregon, the state capitol has about 40. Buildings in the downtown of the Capitol, and it was like a city within the city. The city police would never respond into these buildings that were there. We, as the state police, were responsible for that. So I spent a lot of time in a downtown larger city area responding to this, and that part of my responsibilities, which is why I'm here, was to educate these about 60,000 state employees about their personal safety and how to take care of themselves when they're responding, you see what, as part of the Capitol building, there was a lot of things like the revenue department and public utility commissions, and there was hearings boards and stuff. In other words, there was a lot of very angry people responding up over there and hearing bad news from them. So we gave a class on how to prepare yourself to get rid of, to handle a lot of these situations and deal with some of these people. And I apologize for the coveralls and stuff. Normally I present a lot more like orange dresses, but they caught me off guard. I was supposed to do this Friday, in other words, and I didn't know I was going to be here till about 20 minutes ago. But I've given this class so many times that I pretty much have it by rote. So we're going to be talking about personal safety quite a bit. And when I was talking with Carrie about it, she wanted me to emphasize this, and I'm going to tell you quite a bit about this. I think I keep hitting something back there. Every time I go over there, it really changes the sound. I'll move out of here. We were talking about the fearful part of it. Oren mentioned that a little bit too. And you know, you've got this small campus over here, and it's kind of out in the country, and your threat level is way down. You don't really have a whole lot to worry about for security reasons because of that. You're not in the middle of a great big city with a bunch of crazies running around and stuff. But it doesn't hurt to be prepared and have a little bit of awareness around you about your safety and what's going on, because you're not going to be on this campus the whole time. You're going to be dealing into larger Fayetteville, other towns like that, where you're going to go shopping and things like that. And if you're aware of some of the things that I'm going to tell you, it can make it a lot more safe for you, a lot more issues. But as I was saying, when Carrie and I were talking, she wanted to emphasize, and I'm going to tell you, that the Holy Spirit is really our protector. I mean, you can say those words, and sometimes they don't mean anything to you, but I'm going to tell you, as a police officer, the Holy Spirit protected me thousands and thousands of times. I mean, there was a woman who had in mind to shoot me. She was going to kill me one night. She was very, very drunk, and I stopped her, and we were way out in the country, and she had every intention of killing me. She had a loaded 32 caliber revolver in her coat pocket, and when I told her she was under arrest, she fully intended to kill me. It was if the Holy Spirit, there was like a voice saying, this woman's going to kill you, and she's going to try very hard. And the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do. Well, she sure enough did. She started, as soon as I told her she was under arrest, she started jerking for all she was worth to try to get that gun out of her coat pocket to kill me. Interesting thing, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and God protecting you. The hammer on that gun caught inside the coat. There was 6 tears inside her coat pocket from the hammer of that gun as she tried to get it out 6 times to try and kill me. You know, so he protected me. He put that coat in the way, made it uncomfortable for her to get that gun out of there. And anyways, Holy Spirit's always around working on you. That's really your safety measure. So many times when I was out there, the Holy Spirit would say, turn here, turn there. And I said, no, my plan is to go down this road. No, turn here, turn there. And I'd turn down there and I'd get myself into some major arrest, you know, like 27 marijuana plants were transferring from our one grow to another, just because I listened to that clear, small voice. So I'm going to talk about that today, because that's really important for you to listen to that voice. If you find yourself approaching a situation and the proverbial hair starts standing up on the back of your neck, you start feeling a little uncomfortable, your hands start getting a little sweaty, your heart starts beating a little fast, listen to that voice. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's telling you that you've been in a situation where you need to be backing out of this real fast. And so by all means, God is our protector, and you're with him, and he's with you. I was so very blessed in having such a wide variety career that I did. And I always wondered what would happen if I'd have to shoot somebody. I am not kidding you a bit. I know this sounds like braggadocio, but easily I have pointed my gun at somebody's chest 250 times, probably closer to 300, and I just was really fortunate I never had to pull that trigger, because when I told them, stop that or I'll kill you, they believed me. You know, God was there with me. So I was, but I did have several people try to hurt me, and I was able to defend myself. So it was it was a good career. Anyhow, back to the subject on board. When I start talking to you about some of these awareness issues and the things to be aware of, you need to be thinking about this in two different ways, okay? If I'm going to talk about what the threat I feel from him because of what's going on there, you need to be aware that you can be causing a threat to somebody else without your awareness. In other words, this goes both ways. If somebody is on drugs, okay, just the mere fact that you're getting close to them will be perceived as a threat and can cause them to overreact to what you're doing, and you had no intention of doing that. So those are the kinds of things that you need to beware. So when I'm talking about these personal safety issues, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. First of all, you need to recognize that there's an issue. So that's what I'm going to be talking about at first, and it's all about personal safety, is how do I recognize that somebody's a problem for me, okay? Very first thing is, you probably heard this expression, a lot of people think it's in the Bible, that the windows are the eyes to the soul. And there's a lot of truth in that little proverb, that you can tell a lot about what's going on with somebody by looking at their eyes. If they're talking about a low light situation and their pupils are pinpoints, you got a problem. Something's going on here. That's a high indicator of somebody who's on a number of different types of drugs, is the pinpoint thing. Another one is big eyeballs, big pupils. Okay, there's certain drugs, marijuana specifically, that will make their pupils go so big you can hardly see the color of their eyes because their pupils are that big. If they're bloodshot and watery, it looks like they're going to bleed to death out of their eyes. They're so red, and it's all watery, like they've been crying almost. That's an indicator of a number of different drugs. Can be somebody who hadn't been asleep for 3-4 days. It can be somebody who's just on alcohol, but it's also an indicator of many other harder drugs. So just by a quick glance at somebody's eyes, if you're looking for a couple of things, if you're aware of what's going on there, you can tell that this may be a potential hazard, that they may be a problem for you, that you maybe have to deal with somebody in a special sort of way. There are some birth defects out there that cause unequal eyes, one off to the side or another, but frequently that's also caused by somebody who's had a brain injury of some type. They've been in a car wreck, they've had fallen off a roof, whatever. And they may even have a metal plate in there. And you're talking about this, but I've run into it a number of times. So if they've got some head issues going on, the eyes won't be equal, usually. So if you got somebody that's got, and it's not a 100% thing, but it's just something to be aware of. If somebody's eyes are off over there, they're starting to talk to you a little strange, their reactions, their body language isn't all that great, you could have somebody that's got a problem with some head injuries or some drugs going on. So those are just things to be aware of for the eyes. It tells you a lot of things just off the eyes. If you've got somebody that's, and I move down the face because this is what I usually do next. If you've got somebody that's touching their face a lot, usually around the mouth, usually around the nose, sometimes around the ears, that's a very strong indicator of somebody who's being deceptive, who's lying to you. All right? And I'll use a few public examples, maybe a little bit before your time for some of these. But everybody has heard of an individual called Bill Clinton, right? Okay, when Bill Clinton was talking about who's Monica Lewinsky, I never heard of this woman. I have no contact with her. Every time he got up there and said that, I don't know Monica Lewinsky, he grabbed his ear and tugged on it. Every time. And when he finally admitted that he had it, he didn't tug his ear that time. When he told the truth, it was there. It's sometimes so obvious with people. If they're telling lies, a lot of times they'll put their hand in front of their mouth. It's as if to say, I don't want to say that. Or this thing smells so bad, I don't like it. Or I don't want to hear that. If they're touching their face a lot, they can be lying to you. Something to be thinking about. So if somebody says, hey, your mom just called, she's in the hospital, you need to come with me, maybe they're lying to you. See what I'm saying? See how that can be a safety issue for you? You know, people will lie and do things like that to you. The next thing is the mouth. We talk about that a little bit. Interesting stuff about communication. The words that you say are actually only about 10 to 15% of the communication that you're delivering. The words that you say are only about 10 to 15% of what communication that you're giving. Tone of voice remains a huge one over that. Tone of voice and your connotations are actually about 30% of the communication that you're giving. I use extremes, okay? I really like you. The words are saying one thing, the tone of voice is saying something entirely different, okay? Communication is going on. But by far, the number one communicator is not speech, it's not tone of voice, it's body language. What their body is doing is a tremendous indicator of what's going on. Now, I haven't given this talk for a while, and I haven't really done any public speaking for a little while, so I recognize that some of my old nerves are coming up, so I'm walking around quite a bit, and that's not something I usually do. But for me, that body language to you is, he's maybe a little nervous in front of this crowd, okay? But I'm also want to have the freedom of be able to show you some things and demonstrate. But body language can tell you a lot. And I'm going to give you some nonverbal communications, and you'll see exactly what I mean. Okay. Right? I mean, how obvious is that? Man, I didn't say a word, but he's already feeling threatened. I mean, he's not because he knows he's in class. But if I was coming to him in a parking lot doing this, his heart rate would be racing and his blood pressure would be going right up, and I didn't say a word. See what I'm saying? Give you some other communicators. He starts speaking. I'm doing a huge amount of communication. You're laughing about that, but I'll tell you some real life true stories. When I would go sometimes to like a family domestic or something like that, and there wouldn't quite be enough evidence there maybe to arrest somebody, but this guy I knew needed to go to jail because otherwise I was going to be coming back here tomorrow and the next day and stuff. So when he started talking to me and telling me his problems, didn't say a word. And usually within about a minute, he was swinging at me. Handcuffs, you're gone. You know, so you can use that kind of stuff, yeah? Body language was communicating a whole bunch of things. Now, the whole time I was talking, I'm saying, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, how can I help you, sir, what can I do for you? But my body language was giving a whole different communication. He would never be able to say anything about that, go in front of the judge and tell me why he got so irritated, but that was true, because I was actually doing 85% of my communication with my body and very little with my mouth to do that. So you can do a lot of communication. These are two-way streets. Remember I told you that. You can get that from somebody that you're talking to on the street, but you can also give that. You can give that to your parents. They won't be able to tell you why they're irritated and angry at you, but the body language that you're giving your parents is generally, I'm not saying everybody in this room, but generally when I go to those kinds of things, domestics and stuff like that, it's because the teenager has been given extremely disrespectful, dishonorable, and angry, anger-building body language. He won't talk to me, but I can't tell you why I'm so angry at him, because of the body language that's going there. Two-way streets. Recognize that it may be a problem, a danger for you. Recognize also that you may be giving that danger signal to somebody else. So if you've got somebody that's really agitated and irritable, perhaps they're on drugs, and you're in a contained situation, you're in an elevator, you can't get away from them, you're in a closed room, your body language of what you're telling them can actually escalate the situation, or it can bring it back down. Years and years ago, there was a very bad crash on Interstate 5 in the town that I was working. Seven people died, 30 people were injured. It was related to field burn smoke. Field burn smoke had come up and went over the freeway and come back down and caused a whole bunch of cars to crash into one another. it was such a high political event that the governor's office actually directed us, and through my chain of command down to me, that I was the one to do the total investigation. I wasn't going to be just talking about what were you doing during this crash. I was going to be talking to the government agencies that permitted the field burn. I was going to be talking to the farmer. I was going to be talking to all kinds of people that normally would not be part of my crash investigation. So I tell you this to tell you that I had to go talk to the farmer that was actually did the field burn, and his family and his son. And because I didn't want to talk to them with uneducated information, I had to talk to a whole bunch of state agencies before I ever got around to them. So now here's this crash that's almost 2 weeks old, and now I'm showing up on their doorstep. And I've never talked to them before, and neither has anybody else, because they were told to stay out of the investigation and leave it entirely up to me. So what happens when a guy in uniform and a marked patrol car rolls up to your house, and you just know that you've been reading in the papers for 2 weeks about how everybody hates you because you had a field burn and killed a bunch of people? You can imagine the tension that was there and the things that were taking place. So I walked up and drove up and got out of my car, and the farmer and his son were out in the field like they should be working. So first thing I had to do was approach the family. And mom comes out, and the kids are all grabbing around on her. I mean, they're scared. They're all grabbing on her legs and onto her apron and stuff, and she's shaking when she's talking to me. I mean, she's just terrified. So I know what kind of situation I'm walking into. So I need to talk to dad and son, because they were the ones that were actually doing the field burn. They send somebody out to the field and get to them. And it's the same thing when they get off the tractor as they come into me. They're shaking. He can hardly hold up when he gets off the tractor. He's got one hand resting on it. He's absolutely positive he's going to jail today. Well, how am I going to get information out of these people? They're just absolutely terrified. They're not going to let me talk to him at all. So as long as I'm in uniform and I'm standing there like this, you know, I got to get nothing. So I need to relax these people. So first thing I did was I see some chairs over there. And I reach over and grab my hat, toss it on the table, grab the chair, kick back, put my feet out literally, just like this. Say, you know, I'm really hot today. Can I have a lemonade? I had a lemonade and water second, but what did I do? I entirely changed the outlook of that conversation by my relaxed body language. I hadn't said anything other than let me talk to you and get me a piece of lemonade, get me a drink of lemonade. But I changed the entire atmosphere of that communication just by my body language, by going through that and changing it. You can do that same thing. If you have a tense, irritable body language, you can cause a situation to escalate tremendously. But if you relax and you're comfortable, and you know that's kind of today's style anyways, but if you're into a situation where there's somebody's really angry at you, the more body language that you can give that you're relaxed and calm and confident, the better off that you are. You go down to a sports gym or something like that, and the guy next to you is on steroids, and he wants to fight with you because he's just all pumped up on those steroids. You're a big boy. Come on, man. Come on. All right? You start tensing up. You start lifting your weights. You start posturing. He's going to have a fight with you in just a couple of seconds. You go, oh, come on, man, this is stupid. Let's just relax and calm down the situation. You're going to be able to walk out of there without a black eye. You see what I'm saying? You can relax and calm the situation tremendously by the use of your body language. All right? One of the things that also takes place in communication is a little thing called proxemics. Okay? In our culture, generally speaking, we like 3 to 5 feet. Okay? But I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to touch anybody, but I guarantee you the fact that I'm standing within 2 inches of this kid has just raised his blood pressure and his heart rate tremendously. It just skyrocketed just because I stood next to him, literally. And you don't think that's true, you can watch it take place with one of your friends. If somebody likes you, it's not a problem. If they know you, like I've had a number of conversations with Matthew, so coming in here, probably not too much. But I really have only talked to this young lady one time. And if I stand right next to her like this, whether she knows it or not, she's getting very uncomfortable. Yep. goes both ways. If somebody's getting in your face because they're angry at you and stuff, and they're getting real close to you, you're uncomfortable. But if you're got somebody that's on drugs or on alcohol or angry, and you get close to them, you've just agitated that scenario tremendously by doing simply the proxemics of what's going on. When Oren has asked me to give a talk to the staff later on, and I'll give them some more clues about what that does for you and means for you, because there's actually a lot more to it than that. But you just need to be aware for your safety that if you do these things, get into somebody's face, raise your volume of your talking, use bad body language, get proxemics in them, you can raise the situation and make it way more tense than it ever needs to be. If you back off, you use calming language, you use a relaxed body posture, you can change that tremendously. You can change that, and that's to your benefit, that's for your safety. And you might also be aware of the communication that you're giving, whether it be to a staff, or whether it be to your parents, or whether it be to your friends. We don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. I don't know what's going on in this kid's life right here, but if he starts talking to me, if he starts talking to me and I'm doing, oh, you are so boring, I don't want to listen to you, hey man, I gotta go, that may be the one depressing thing that sets him over the edge, and maybe he'll go drinking tonight because I didn't listen to him, I didn't talk to him a little bit, I didn't have some time for him. Okay, so things to be aware of, just a little bit of communication that way. Let's talk about personal safety when we get out in the real world and not just here at the school. Let's say you're going to the mall or you're going to some busy shopping center, Walmart, at one of the bigger towns over there. Okay? When you park your car, let's just start off with that, because I'm giving you the kind of verbal signs if you're going to run into some person inside there. But as you're going outside, there, I want you to approach your car with an awareness, with a thinking about what's going on. Most of the time when there have been kidnappings, when there have been people hurt, when there have been assaults, when there have been robberies, it's because somebody walked into a situation that never had to happen if they just were aware. So when you approach your car, don't go right up to your car and not pay attention to what's going on, okay? When I approach my car, and I've told my kids this, I told everybody, I'll walk on the other side of the aisle. I'll look underneath the car to see if anybody's there, because many times bad guys have hidden underneath the car and come right out there because you don't look at. When I approach the car and I check both cars on either side, if there's a big vehicle that's hard to see around, like a van or a work truck or something like that, I may walk way past it first to be able to see what's going on there and make sure that it's unoccupied before I ever get up to that car. When I approach that car, I'm going to be looking in the back seat and in the front seat through the windows before I ever go there. Let's just say that as I'm walking up to this car over there, I see that there are some people there that I feel real uncomfortable with. Now, what do I do about that? And my mic is going crazy. I probably don't even need it. I can usually speak loud enough that, but we got it. Yeah, I've been moving around a lot. It made this thing go bad. Bad body language. All right, we'll try her again. As I approach this car, if somebody in there makes me uncomfortable, there's some people around there, what do I do about that? Our culture says that you just ignore it and go right up there. I'm telling you not. There's nothing wrong with doing this. We were talking about body language and how you can communicate. There's nothing wrong with doing this and going right back into the store and calling the police or calling the security people there and saying, I've got an issue. Personal safety. I recognize there's an issue because of the bad body language, because the Holy Spirit is talking to me out there. All I have to do is just change that circumstance. I don't have to walk into that. You know, I was telling you I was in the state buildings all the time, okay? And here's this little UPS gal going around delivering her boxes to all the different places over there. And she walks up to the elevator. This is summertime. She's wearing her shorts and short-sleeve shirt. There's a guy in there with a long trench coat. Come on. It's 85 degrees. Who needs a trench coat over there? She doesn't feel real comfortable about this situation. She doesn't like the way the guy looks. He won't make eye contact with her. And we'll talk about that for a minute, too. I kind of skipped the eye contact a little bit. And so she goes into the elevator with him, got her packages to deliver. What's the matter with waiting for the next elevator, even if you don't feel comfortable? She gets in the elevator with him. What's the first thing he does? Look at me, I'm naked. Yeah, for real. Oh, yeah. I mean, this stuff happens in the real world. But she didn't have to walk into that situation. All she had to do is say, I'll take the next elevator, you know? And just go over that. That's the point of it, is why put yourself in that situation if you don't have to? You know, we were talking about eyes a little bit, and I kind of went over that real fast, and I should have gone a little bit more to that. A normal eye contact with people is 15 to 20% of the time. If somebody's just constantly staring at you, then you need to feel real uncomfortable, like he is right now, see? First thing he's doing is he's moving his eyes away. I'm not any real hostile, but I'm just staring at him. I'm just looking at him, and making him real uncomfortable. Another thing that does is not looking at you at all, okay? So there's a lot of people in here, but one of the things that I try to do when I'm giving talks like this is I try to make eye contact with each and every person in the room. Because once I've made eye contact with them, I've now become a person, not a thing. All right? So making an eye contact is not a bad idea. It gives you a chance to see what's in the window of their souls, but you don't want to stare. You don't want to be on the other side of it. You don't want to stare, and you don't want to not look at them at all. But if you can, you make eye contact with them, then generally they will make eye contact back with you, and you become a person, not a thing. It's a real interesting thing, real interesting phenomenon. But if you exceed that 15% and start staring at somebody, you can make them uncomfortable. And if you don't look at them at all, you can make them feel uncomfortable. There's another thing about that, is that once you look at somebody, now they know that you've seen them and you can identify them. A lot of times, just the fact that you've identified somebody. I've told my kids this, that if you see somebody over by your car and it's making you feel uncomfortable, one thing you want to do is not make them think that you're all alone. So I tell them, if you see somebody over there walking, just say, "Hi, Susan," and do it real loud and wave. Now they'll turn and look at you like, "You're nuts. My name is not Susan. I don't know you." But you've drawn attention to yourself. You've now made a witness to any crime that might go on. You've now made the bad guy think, "I don't want to do this," because there's now a witness to what's going on. So part of your personal safety can be just making other people aware that you're there, that you're not a light post or another parked car, but you're actually there. So you go, "Jim, hey, I haven't seen you in years." And you go, "What?" But now everybody knows that you, Jim, and I have now made contact. You know who I'm there, and it's a safety issue. It makes it safer for you that you've done that, okay? It's a real simple little trick to be able to do. Whether it's in parking lots or in the mall, somebody coming towards you to the mall, making you feel real uncomfortable, 3-4 guys, and, you know, you just go, "Hey, Bill, how are you, man?" It'll change. It'll change what's going on. Small things like that can really make your personal safety. Orrin said, "Am I going to teach you guys how to throw people on the ground or demonstrate some of that?" No, we're not going to do any of that. We're not hoping that it'll never get to a personal contact situation. Because what I'm telling you gives you a chance to avoid all that long before it gets there. So what did I tell you about the car situation? What was the number one pointer out of all that? Is to be aware of your surroundings and what's going on to you. If you just walk up to it, buds in your ears, doing the texting thing, you may very well put yourself right in the middle of a crime scene without even knowing it. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware of the people that are there. Oren said, we don't have to be fearful, but we don't have to be unwise either. You can be aware of the things that are going around you, be it the things that are happening. Be aware of people around you. You'll also get a tremendous amount of enjoyment out of life by doing that. As silly as that sounds, if you're aware of the people around you, there's chances when you start picking up on some of these indicators that you'll actually want to talk to somebody and find out what their problems are, because now I'm aware that Joe here does have an issue because he's given me some body language that I need to be talking to him. And now I get the chance to share Christ with him, and I've now enriched my life. I've enriched the Holy Spirit's life by being aware that he even has a need instead of just walking around, hey, great cell phone stuff today. Okay. By being aware and alert, you make your personal safety good, you make your life richer. When I started being involved in police work, and they were training me, we would go into some very hostile situations. Number one killer of police officers is domestics. A lot of people don't know that. It's not bank robberies, it's not high-speed chases, it's going into a domestic situation. They have all the advantages. They know where every weapon in the house is. They know where knives are, ashtrays. I don't know the people. I've got to make an assessment about what's going on in 10 seconds. They've been arguing for 3 days and building up their anger. It's a scary, scary thing. So in order to help us start picking up on these cues I'm talking about, body language and things like that, they trained us to start increasing our powers of observation. So we would go at this very hostile situation, and I'm a newbie, and I'd come out, and the experienced officer would say, where was the furniture? Where was the couch? Where was the chairs? What pictures were on the wall? What color clothing was that person wearing? Describe their clothing head to foot. What's going on? Man, what a tough test that was. You know, I go through the 3 or 4 of those and try to remember where all the pictures were all there. And where it really came to place is I'd go into a couple of these when I first started doing this, and the officer would say, did you see that knife on the table? Knife on the table? There was a kitchen butcher knife this big sitting over there right next to the chair where this guy was sitting. I never saw it. I needed to be alert and aware. And so they taught us to do that. What was the benefit of all that? Now, when I go outside, I look. I look at the weather. I look at the birds and the trees. I see the God's creation and God's nature. It made me alert and aware to the wonders of God around me. All right? Even that guy right there, one of God's wonders. The object is personal safety. Awareness is a lot of the key. If you are aware of these things, looking at these things that happen around you, you can make your life richer, you can make your life more a blessing, and you can keep yourself safe. You can be wise. There's actually a lot more to this class than that, but that's what I felt was appropriate for you to hear at this time. If there's any quick questions, I'll throw one or two at you, and then I'll give it back to Oren. All right. Thank you very much for letting me be nervous in front of you.
So thank you so much, Richard. I was just thinking through, not only is that personal safety, but you know, there's applications there that you know we can be, you know, not fearful, but be cautious, as Richard was saying, but also, I think, looking out for our own personal safety, but there's applications where we can look out for one another as well through that. You know, if we're just remind one another of some of these things and watch out for one another in that way. I think it's great. You know, if we can stop something before it starts by keeping something from escalating or into something it never needed to be, you know, that's obviously what we want to do. But thank you so much, Richard. Christian had an announcement right quick. We'll catch him.
So.
Oh yeah, sounds good. You have something, Jay, too? Oh no, Devin, you got something too?
Siblings, so if you guys have them,
get them back.
Yeah, let's help each other out. There's a few siblings to make up there. Also, yeah, the business office wanted me to just remind, hey, you guys need to be looking at your emails. There's been some email communication going out, and either from business office, sometimes from my office. You need to see those. You just don't want to be surprised when finals start and you can't take your finals. Okay? So there's some people that have some things to tend to, and you can't take finals until all that's tended to. All right? So just don't want anybody to be surprised. We've been saying it all semester, so don't want that to happen.
All right. I want to close today just by, Carrie and I were reading this morning. More accurately, she read this to me this morning. I want to read it to you. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come in His house. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me, and at his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.' Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident. I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." Okay, I think with that, is there anything else? Okay, we're dismissed. Thank you.